Josh Huff expressed some frustration yesterday that he's not gotten back in there yet. What's the plan? And,
we'll see how he trains this week. He wasn't ready to go last week, so. Both. He wasn't ready to go physically or mentally last week. He knew that. We talked to him, told him on Friday that what his status was, that he wasn't going to be active on Sunday. So we'll see how he goes through a whole week. Last week was his first full week practicing, and then didn't actually practice all through Wednesday. Took a shot and was out for a couple plays. So, you know, we got to make sure that he's 100% healthy physically and mentally to go play. So we'll see how he goes this week.
When you say mentally, you mean knowing the offense or?
Everything. He's missed so much time. You know, I think, and he's still a rookie. You know, so I think he came back last week on Wednesday and practiced, got hit a little bit, missed some time in practice. You know, it was the first time really taking a shot on that. So just made a decision on Friday that he wasn't available, and we told him on Friday he wasn't going to play. So we'll see how he practices and trains this week, and then we'll make a decision later on in the week.
It seemed last year Jake Knott was a guy that you liked. In these next few weeks, what do you need to see to maybe activate him or bring him up?
Everything. I mean, we haven't seen Jake in a long time, and he was hurt during camp, so you know, wasn't in really in the mix at linebacker in camp because of the injury. So you know, we need to get a full Jake Knott, a full healthy Jake Knott, and get a chance to take a look at him and see what he can do. So
is that different than Lane Johnson? You know, his return is, you know, you plug him right back in at right tackle, but
I think a guy that started 17 games for us is a little different than a guy that was a back end of the roster guy. So yeah, definitely, I think that's a totally different deal.
When you met with Lane Johnson, what did you want to hear from him that he's ready to come back and play football for you, Chip?
I just want to see where his head was at and where he was from a physical and what he did during the break. So.
And what did he say to you? That where is his head at? And what
I think he's ready to play football. You know, I don't have any concerns with Lane from that standpoint. It's just he hasn't practiced football in 4 weeks. That's the biggest thing. How do we watch him this week during practice in terms of what he does? How sore is he? He hasn't been playing football. The only way to get in shape for football is to really play football. You can go train and do whatever. It's no different than a guy getting ready for training camp. The second or third day of training camp, he's going to be a little sore because training camp is different than what you're doing on your own. So.
Is Macklin hurt or is he just getting?
Macklin's here today. He'll be practicing full today. So.
Success you guys had on special teams, is that a direct correlation to what you think you did in the offseason in terms of guys you brought in? Is that learning the system, or is that a lot of coming from FIP and, you know, people playing?
I think it's all of the above. You know, it's another year in the system for those guys. We've added some special teams players through free agency. You know, guys like Chris Maragos that have come in. I think other guys are just more comfortable in the system. We obviously have a different kicker. We're kicking the ball better from a kickoff standpoint. So there's a lot of different things. You're getting contributions from young guys like Trey Burton, who wasn't here last year. So I think it's a combination of all those things.
Jenkins already has a career high in interceptions through four games. What is it about this system that fits him specifically?
You know, we said since day one, his ability to do everything. He can play in the box. He can cover receivers. He was drafted as a cornerback coming out of college, but he also has the ability to play in the middle of the field. He's been an unbelievable guy around this building in terms of his preparation, in terms of the amount of time he puts in from film study and understanding the game itself. So I think he just fits. You know, we're not a team that wants to have one guy who's a down safety, one guy who's a high safety. You have to be able to do both. And I think his ability to do all those different things, to cover in man-to-man situations, to play in the box and to also play high, I think really adds to where he is. And his interceptions have come in different spots. One of them when he was a high safety in the Redskins game in the middle of the field, did a great job reading the quarterback's eyes and broke on the ball. You know, the other time he was in man coverage, passed it off to the inside player in man coverage and then came back and covered number two. So I think it's his versatility that really attracted us to him from the get-go. So.
When you talk about blocking, obviously there's more than just the O-line. You have your tight ends, et cetera, in the run game. I mean, how do you think the tight ends are doing in terms of the run blocking?
I think they're just okay, just like everybody else. We're not blocking very well at wide receiver, at offensive line, at tight end, anywhere. You look at our production in the run game, it's not where it should be. So there's not one specific area. I think everybody from a blocking standpoint needs to improve.
Is there something up with Celek in terms of health, et cetera?
No, I think a lot of times we're running away from Brent because a lot of people are slanting to Brent because of when we're in our two tight end sets, we were trying to get away from Brent last week just because everybody was running to Brent. So they were rolling their coverage on every play to Brent, just knowing that, you know, he's obviously the guy we were trying to run the ball to. You know, you're going to try to run the ball away from Brent a little bit, but we got to be able to hold up at the other tight end spot if we're going to do that.
As an offensive coach, you must drive you crazy. You only cross the 50 twice on offense. You don't get into the end zone. When you get back in the building, you start looking at the film. You know, how do you approach getting back to where you want to be offensively?
You approach it the same way every week. Your Monday's the same, your Tuesday's the same, your Wednesday's the same. You don't do it, hey, we had success on offense, so we don't have to do it. We're very systematic in our approach and kind of how we approach things, and then how do we make improvements and get better. But we've never been satisfied whether we've won a game or lost a game in terms of our production on the offensive side of the ball. We can always get better, and we'll always strive to get better.
What have you seen on film from Robert Quinn, and are a lot of opponents using their tight ends and running backs to chip him a little bit?
He obviously an outstanding player. You know, the one thing that strikes you when you watch him is just how hard he runs to the ball no matter where the play is. I think a lot of people have gone away from him. You know, they had such a great tandem when Chris Long was on one side and he was on the other side. I think he's obviously garnered more attention just because Chris is out right now with an injury, so that there's a lot more attention gone to him. People are sliding protection to him. Sometimes they're leaving a tight end over there to help or a running back. So, the one thing with him is you can't think that just kind of sending an extra guy over there is going to help, because he just plays so hard and is relentless in terms of running towards the quarterback. So.
How much of a luxury is it to have Jason Peters, and do you feel like he's the guy who can handle the best defensive ends one-on-one?
Well, we think Jason's one of the top tackles in the league, so it's always a comforting feeling knowing you're going into games and you have Jason Peters on your left side.
Pre-season, we spoke about what McCoy can do better. One thing you said was accepting 2nd and 9 as opposed to 2nd and 14. Are you seeing that from him, or are you seeing him try to do too much behind the line of scrimmage?
No, I think LeSean's kind of playing the way he played last year. It's just, you know, specifically if you look at last week's game, there wasn't a lot there. You know, and it was tough sledding for anybody that was carrying the football last Sunday. So,
your assessment of Riley Cooper's play through 4 games?
I thought Riley's done a nice job when called upon. He's got 2 drops through 4 games. You know, I think, he's actually ahead of his production from last year at this time. So, you know, sometimes catches and gains and things like that come in bunches. But I've been pleased with Riley so far.
Chip, when you notice that your team's not doing something well, in this case the run blocking, over a week or two, do you do anything in practice to try to sharpen it up? I know you're very regimented. Do you change things? Or?
Yeah, we're always working on our game plan in terms of what we're trying to do. But I also don't think you just drastically change and we're going to turn into a run-and-shoot offense and throw the ball 100 times. You know, I think we're still going to do what we do. You obviously are trying to fit a couple different pieces in up front just because of the injuries that you've had up there. But, you know, you try to get those combinations right. You try to make sure that those guys are getting enough practice time, practicing what you need to practice in terms of getting better, and just understand that's how the game goes. You know, there's going to be times where you got all hands on deck. There's going to be times when you don't. But that doesn't mean you have to drastically change what you do. We just have to get better and do a better job of understanding the fundamentals, do a better job of communicating up front and getting everybody on the same page.
You talked before about Jordan Matthews having just learned to slot first. As the season progresses, can you add a little more to his plate in terms of learning more of the outside role?
Could you? Yeah. Are we? No.
No.
I mean, he's playing slot receiver for us right now. So, I mean, to move him outside, that doesn't help us in terms of where we are. We need to have a big physical slot in there, and that's really what we're looking to do right now. And he's still got a long ways to go as a slot receiver. So I don't think, you know, we're at a point in time where he's going to say, hey, let's take this and now let's start moving him around a little bit.
Does he have the skill set to play outside?
Yeah, he's got the skill set to play outside. Just like some of those outside guys have the skill set to play inside. But I mean, just to move people for the sake of moving people doesn't make us a better football team.
Chip, could you give us a better understanding of Nick Foles' left shoulder situation, how much he might be injured or hurt, whether he had an MRI or an X-ray at all?
He hasn't had any of that. He just got banged in the shoulder, hasn't missed a day of practice, hasn't missed a rep throwing. So.
Not injured.
Hasn't had an MRI, hasn't had anything with his shoulder, hasn't missed a rep throwing. So.
How about ribs?
I've never heard anything about his ribs. So.
What made Matt Logan the choice at left guard, or at least at this point in the league?
Just Matt's over since he's been here for 2 years. You know, if Matt didn't get hurt before the last preseason game, he would have been our first lineman off the bench right behind Barber. He was pushing Barber for playing time. Got a real good skill set. You know, really like what he can do. He's coming off an ankle injury. Got twisted a little bit early in the game, but thought he responded and came back very, very well in that game. I thought he played a pretty good game for his first start in a National Football League game.
Nick was talking about his overthrows yesterday. Is there anything from a mechanics standpoint there, or is it as simple as he's just throwing it out there a little bit too far?
I think times he's got to set his feet and not get a couple times he got rushed, a couple other times when he had some opportunities and didn't have the pressure in him. He's got to do a better job fundamentally in terms of his setup and his drop and delivering the football on time.
Really talked a little bit about Connor Barron, just sometimes just doing whatever the defense needs. How important is it in that type of scheme to have someone just to do whatever it takes to be versatile?
I mean, anytime you have versatile players, I think it helps. So Malcolm Jenkins is a guy like that that can play down, can play man-to-man coverage. He's not just a one-trick pony, so to speak. And I think that adds to whatever package you've got out there. You know, is he's adapted being in coverage. You can scheme up anything you want and say, hey, we're going to drop this guy. But if he doesn't have the ability when you drop him to be successful at it, then that's going to hurt you. So, you know, the versatility is kind of the key in terms of what he brings to us, because we can put him in a lot of different positions. You know, his sack came when he was lined up at inside linebacker in the A-gap. You know what I mean? You also see him coming off the edge. You see him in coverage. So that versatility helps, just because you can't pigeonhole him in terms of one spot or where he's going to be. So.
The teams have always had, like, so much success running the football. Have you ever seen down through a stretch like this where it struggled for 2 weeks?
I mean, we didn't run the ball, I think, last year in the Giants and the Cowboys game very well either. So, you know, it happens. Sometimes, your plans going into the game in terms of what you want to get done don't exactly turn out. Usually that's what happens. You know, it's Mike Tyson said everybody has a plan until they get hit in the face. You know, we got hit in the face, and we got to respond to it. So,
with Michael Kendricks,